for many months I prayed and discussed with our with my fellow elder Andy, and we both concluded that 2 Corinthians might be very appropriate to study for this year. We had other plans last year, but we've learned how to change plans and be adaptable. I chose to have only one more standalone sermon just because next Sunday, our brother Tim Harap is going to preach. It's the third Sunday, and we try to stick as much as we can to swap this arrangement, to swap the third Sunday every month, whenever it is possible. Today, I want to speak of a subject that we are all facing it. We are going through it right now. We've been many times through suffering and pain. As a matter of fact, I wonder if there is one single person in this room or on Zoom to say, no, for me, life is just perfect. I have no pain and suffering and affliction of any kind. I have no troubles. I believe all of us right now, and that's why I chose it. I listened to how many names we pronounce, and we couldn't cover all. Right now, I am personally in pain, in physical pain. And I've been many times preaching with headaches and other kinds of pains in my body. So pain is real. And I want to ask you if you would have a magical power to change and eradicate this only thing in the world, to, you know, take it and solve it once forever. Would you take away pain? Would you make it possible that humankind may not ever experience pain? Physical, emotional pain? That can be caused by different things. Accidents, illness, relational issues, other sorts of pressures and factors from outside, financial crisis. I'm not talking about those things that are causing it, but would you take away this experience of pain if you have this magical power? I wouldn't. And after today's sermon, I hope we would all conclude it can be a blessing, although we don't like it. So if you've ever struggled with trying to find a purpose behind your pain, I think you should pay attention to today's message. Maybe right now, as I said, you are going through sickness that has lingered far too long in your life. Maybe it is a relational that causes you pain, family relationship, friends, all sorts of other interactions. Perhaps it can be even a job that drains you, or a boss whose only aim in life is to make you miserable. It happens sometimes. Or maybe your pain has to do with your faith. You kept praying and praying and praying for a specific pain point in your life to be taken away, to be solved. And God is silent. It seems to be absent because he's not answering your prayer in the way you expect. We've been praying for this pandemic for over 2 years now. Has it been painful? No doubt. It brought so much pain in the whole world. And we think, where is God? Pain on some levels will always be ever present in our lives. But we don't need to walk through life struggling to find a purpose behind our pain. One of the reasons Christians look to scriptures for guidance and wisdom is because truth never changes and human nature never changes. So I would like to start with one verse that we all know very well. And we've been in this book since ages ago, I think 4 years, 3 years, James. And in James 1, verses 2 and 4, we read, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything," says James. Now, this is just a, there are two verses I would like to start with, but then throughout the scripture, we will look to many other references. And today I just want to share five things. I have five main points. Why pain has a purpose and it can be very powerful in our life. So the title actually is The Purpose and Power of Pain. The Purpose and Power of Pain. And I hope through all these five main points, we will learn how to turn our pain points into power points. Does it make sense? It's just playing with words. Right now, I have a huge pain point right here. And I've had it for several months. I'm doing everything I can. It's still there. It's a pain point. Sometimes I have it here. And that's the whole thing. You know, there will be pain points, but we need to learn how to turn them into power points. Places of power in our life. We have these two options. We can use pain killers to cover the pain, to make it dumb, to not feel it, or we can actually turn it into a PowerPoint. I'm not against painkillers when we need them for our body. Don't get me wrong. So to get straight to the point, the first thing we want to learn is that pain confirms something in us. It's one of its purposes, to confirm something in us. Several things to confirm. The most obvious one is to confirm that we are fallen, having a sinful nature, living in a sinful world. We are fallen creatures, sharing a sinful nature, living in a sinful world. In Genesis 3:17, we read, I choose first the King James Version, when God comes to Adam and Eve and said, "For your punishment, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake." It doesn't say for your punishment, but because of you, because of what you have done. Now the whole earth is cursed. And why is this important? It is actually for your sake, for your welfare, to experience pain. Let me read it now in NIV. "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life." Can you imagine living life in paradise, being corrupted, being fallen, and without experience the pain of what it means to be fallen and apart from God? Just imagine. What would be to live in the same place, in paradise, being corrupted and fallen, being separated from God, but without experiencing any effects, any side effects, as you sometimes call it? Dr. Paul Brand, a great medical missionary who used to work with lepers. He studied them for many years and brought the gospel to them. He said, one of the problems with leprosy is that the leper can no longer, the person who has leper, can no longer feel pain in the leprous part of their body. And I've also seen and met such people. For that reason, after a while, the extremities of their bodies fall down. Bits of nose, of ears, fingers. But when they got leper to an advanced stage, imagine you have leper on your hand, that hand becomes numb. It doesn't feel pain. You can touch something very hot, burning, and you don't feel it. You can have it in your foot and step in a huge piece of glass, broken glass, or a big nail, and you have no idea that is there. I actually been told that diabetics may experience advanced diabetes. I heard of a person who had advanced diabetes and literally step on a sharp object and carry it with it within the body for several weeks until notice the huge damage, and they ended up in hospital. So when you look at pain from that perspective, you see it as a blessing because there is a messenger in it. It tells you, well, something is wrong. But first of all, we need to understand that this is because we are fallen and we have sinful nature. And we need to experience pain in order to understand what the effects of being far away from God are in our life. Also, pain confirms that something in our body is wrong and needs to be fixed. Many of us here, and I don't want to give names, but everything, you know, been through long-standing suffering, and everything started with a bit of pain. We thought, well, it will go. It's just back pain. It will go, sorry. It will go away in 2 days. You take some painkillers, and it doesn't. And then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse because, as I said earlier, there is a messenger in it. It tells you something is wrong. You need to look somewhere deeper. And the pain itself is not the problem. It's what it causes it. I had a very, very close friend back in Romania, an elder, one of the best elders besides Andy I ever had. It was just in the church I used to serve prior to move to the UK. I remember even now spending lots of times together and meaningful conversation and the way he used to preach and teach and serving the church in such a wonderful way. His name was Paul in Romania. Just a year before we departed from Romania, we left Romania in 2011, he started experiencing acute lower back pain, acute. So he started with painkillers like normal. Ended up having massages, going to chiropractor, even getting some of those ozone injection that apparently helps. Everything focusing on the back pain. After a year or so, we just moved to the UK in April 2012. I heard that he went to have an MRI. When they check on the MRI, they, of course, look at the beginning on the spine and back. But then they went deeper. They discovered an advanced cancer colon. And it was too late. In a year, he's gone. So his back pain was just a message sent by another organ, saying something needs to be addressed, something needs to be looked into. If you may know, our liver never hurts. You cannot have pain in your liver. But when there is something seriously wrong with our liver, often we will have a pain in beneath our shoulder, right shoulder blade. Again, another back pain, if you like. And often I now recognize it because I had it in the past. If you have a kidney stone, again, the kidney itself, it doesn't hurt, but it sends pain in the back. So that pain is a blessing. It tells you, look after yourself. Something needs to be fixed. And it's the same in the spiritual realm. As a sinful, fallen creatures, because we have all kinds of pain in our lives, pain is a messenger, confirms that something needs to be fixed. Also, pain confirms that there is a God and I am not that God. There is a God beyond me, but it's not me. Often people think that way when everything goes nice on the roses, everything goes almost perfect. They feel themselves like little gods until they experience pain. Suddenly they start to look up. They realize there is a God. And this God is not a passive God. It is an active God. I wasn't planning to look in this piece of scripture, but Marie earlier read from Psalm 9. She read two verses, but verse 9 says, "The Lord is our refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of troubles." There is a God, an active God, but in time of troubles, he's a stronghold. Also, we know this piece of scripture where God himself says, "I am a present help in times of troubles. I'm a present help in trouble." So they are there. There is a God. He's there with you in the pain, in the suffering, in the afflictions of life. One of our songs, the one before last, we start singing, "More love, more power, more of you in my life." Didn't sing "more pain, more pain, more pain." But we will learn through this sermon that by experiencing pain, we will experience more love, more power, and more of him in our lives. Because this God is a present help in trouble. The second point, why pain? The purpose of pain. Pain corrects, has a corrective purpose in our lives. We are familiar with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11. So let me read it once again. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful," says the author of Hebrew, "but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So no discipline seems pleasant at times. It has a corrective purpose. It tells us that something is wrong, as we've learned. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed. But we live in a generation today that we rather trying to immediately use painkillers to mask it, to cover it up. Sedatives are everywhere. Over the counter, all kinds. That is the reason why so many people are on drugs. That's why some people look to alcohol, other even to television, to cover, to mask the level of pain in their lives, no matter what kind of pain. What sort of correction can pain bring in our lives? The one you may not think of, and I was struck by it. I'm not going to spend a great deal on it because I preached or touched this subject many times in the past. It corrects us from pride, from being me, from being proud. This is our tendency all the time. And we can learn this from the experience of Paul, the Apostle Paul. What he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you know, Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was one who brought pain to Christians. That was his mission in life. He would wake up every day, every morning, energized, thinking, how many Christians can I arrest today? How many churches can I destroy today? His passion in life was to be a pain experience for Christians. Until one day when he encountered Jesus. We know the story in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. When he encounters Jesus, saw him in all his glory. He turned blind. He had this conversation with Jesus when Jesus calls him to a new mission. Now, he spends some time with the disciples. He's been taught and trained for ministry. And God gifted him with so many gifts to be a great servant in his kingdom. He starts planting churches, maturing believers, teaching, writing 3/4 of the New Testament. And one day, God gives him this honor, this great experience, experiencing a sort of rapture, an experience beyond the physical realm. When he says he's been on the third heaven, he saw things that cannot be described. Now, when you have such experience, when you reach that sort of level of spirituality, of wisdom, of understanding, what's the tendency? Be honest, all humans, to boast. Do you know who I am? I mean, do you know with whom you are speaking? Where I've studied? What sort of diplomas I have? How I experienced the Lord? Do you know? And although he had all this, often he was contested by various people in various places, attacked by them. And we will learn this when we dive deep in 2 Corinthians, that he has to defend his rights as an apostle, his calling, his mission. He has to defend them. The way he does it is not by pointing towards qualifications, towards experiences, towards who he is. But we will learn as we dive into 2 Corinthians later on, he shows them how he suffered for Christ. And then in other words, he says, do you want to be an apostle like me? Suffer like me. Do you want to know? Why and how can I be an apostle of Christ? Let me take my jacket off and you will see the scars, the marks of Christ in my life. And now I come to this specific text in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read it all, but at home, especially in your care groups, I advise you to look at section 3-10. When he describes this experience going in this place called paradise, the third heaven. But from verse 7, we read, middle of verse 6, but I refrain to boast in other ways. I refrain to do that. So no one will think more of me that is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. I was given. There is purpose in this, right? I was given a thorn in my flesh. Read carefully. A messenger of Satan to do what? To torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. We'll look at this a little bit later. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So there is a corrective purpose in pain. God knew why he gave Paul this experience. He calls it a thorn. I'm glad he does it so, and he doesn't go very specific, because we would have related only to that specific sort of experience. This is a generic thing. Many people believe it had to do something with his eyes, because after that encounter of Jesus, he would have wept all the time. He would see tears and maybe like seeing not very clearly. Other people believe that Paul was very ugly, you know, all kinds of things. We don't know, really. Don't allow any speculations here. It is definitely a physical sort of pain. A thorn in his flesh, not in his mind. So there is not a problem of mental health, not in his emotional status or ego or whatever. It's in his flesh. So it's a pain in his flesh. He calls it a thorn. And also a messenger of whom? Satan. Now, we did discuss in the past about spiritual attacks. And I'm aware of this, and I've been through it, and so on. I reiterate today what I've said at that time. The devil has no power or authority beyond what it is given to him by God in his sovereign will over Christians. You will never, ever be attacked beyond God's sovereign will, beyond what God allows to happen in your life. You are protected by the power of Christ, by the power of the blood. But sometimes God says, okay, now you have permission until this point, like in Job's life. A messenger of Satan, a thorn in his flesh, for a purpose, to keep him humble. And also, he says, in order to experience his grace, his power, more than he could ever imagine. Something that you could not experience outside of that pain. That's something interesting. I'll come back to this. Corrects us from our own pride. Corrects us from our wrong attitudes. The desire of being independent or wrongly dependent on other things, on resources, or on me, on my flesh. And then when we are in pain, we suddenly, as I said earlier, turn to God and we realize we need to be fully dependent on him. When everything goes nice and when I have no pain, no issues in my life, you know, we think we are made of iron, literally. And then that thorn comes, you know, God, I'm so dependent on you. Years ago, I used to go lots of, you know, after every single morning service, I would have lunch for at least 5-7 years, maybe. I preached 5 times a day, believe it, on Sundays. Now I find it difficult to preach the second sermon at Emmaus in my own tongue. And I know why, preaching in English exhausted me, but I'm getting old. Literally in seven places. Sometimes I would repeat the same sermon, but preaching five times a day on Sundays. And I went to a place called Cernavoda, 70 miles away from the main city, Constanza. I was absolutely fine. After I preached in the morning, I preached in the afternoon. I went to another mission point. I preached there, I preached there, I preached there. On the way back driving, I started experiencing a little bit of a pain on my back again. Tense. Maybe it's just tension, you know. Okay, no, it's okay. I had planned for the rest of the weeks, you know, everything was in order. I arrived home. I remember I told Elena that I do have some pain and I need to go to bed earlier. At 4 o'clock, I wake up in terrible pain, acute pain. I couldn't get down out of my bed. I crawl. I wake her up. I said, I cannot move. I don't know what's wrong with me. I was sweating. Well, she called her father. He came, took me straight to A&E. Test, whatever, a kidney stone, perfusion. All that week, I was so weak. Sunday, I thought I'm made out of iron. I knew everything what I'm going to do for the rest of the week. On Monday, I was already in hospital, weak, hopeless. It took about one full month to eliminate that stone. Terrible pain, the first one, when I've learned a little bit of what means to give birth as a woman. That's what they say. It's similar, that's what they say. On the second one, it was a bit easier. It makes us dependent, and it does correct our attitudes in life. It also corrects our theology, our view of God. Of the Christians, a lot of people believe, you know, a lot, not many, but a lot, many, some. Once you come to Christ, you are a Christian, you accepted Jesus. Now, everything should be perfect. You heard about this prosperity gospel. And it takes roots more and more around, you know, local Christians. When we believe that, oh no, because we know Jesus, we can rebuke, we can do this, we can do that. We keep away all the illness, all the pain, everything. No, we have a good God. God loves us. And we have this wonderful statement, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And I'm not sure, I'm looking, where is Mark and Phyllis? No, no one. So in African culture, in some parts of Africa, they don't stop here. They say it a few times. The preacher says, God is good. The congregation answered, all the time, God is good. All the time, God is good. And then they somehow conclude, because this is his nature. Oh my, oh my, oh my. This is his nature. Yes, absolutely true. But because God is good, all the time, he also allows pain in our lives for a good purpose. And this helps us to understand and to correct our theology. Once again, Hebrews 12:11, I've just read it. It's not a pleasant experience, but it has a purpose in it. No discipline seems pleasant at times, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It also corrects the way we pray. And because I've preached on this matter, looking at Hannah's prayer, remember, some time ago, I don't want to spend too much time today. But there are at least three different of prayer, or the way of praying. Ritual prayers. And, you know, we are okay, we are doing pretty much fine, and we just pray out of motions. Some, they recite prayers. It's just a routine. There is that sort of magical prayer, I'll call it. When we are trying to control God to do what we want. We tell him what to do. And there is a genuine prayer, as Hannah prayed, when after years and years and years of praying, looking at herself and her needs and her pain and her bitterness, once he thought, well, now I'm going to align my prayer to your purposes. I want to pray in such a way that your purposes will be fulfilled in my conditions, in my life, through my pain. If you allow it for a purpose, teach me what that purpose is. It's based on a friendship. You pray with God as a friend. Paul says, I prayed three times. Three times I told God, Father, you forgot something. You give me this gift. You give me these opportunities. I'm doing this, but you forget something. There is a thorn in whatever it is, you know. Three times. Then he gave up because he got the answer. My grace is sufficient. And my power is perfected in the witness. Ah, I got it. It has a purpose, pain. It has a purpose. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. And now, let me read the same version, well, the same piece of scripture, but in the Message and then J.B. Phillips. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough. It is all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weaknesses. You see the perspective? J.B. Phillips put it in a slightly different way. So tremendous, however, were the revelation that God gave me that in order to prevent me becoming absurdly conceited, I was given a physical handicap, one of Satan's angels, to harass me and effectually stop me conceit. Three times I begged the Lord for it to leave me, but his reply has been, my grace is enough for you. Where there is weakness, my power is shown more completely. Therefore, I have cheerfully made up my mind. Listen, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weaknesses because they mean a deeper experience of the power of Christ. I can even enjoy weaknesses, suffering, privations, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For my very weakness makes me strong in him. What a perspective. But that comes from a genuine way of praying. When you listen to God and understand the purpose. The third thing quickly, pain clarifies. Clarifies. I have several issues, as I've learned already. I am a fallen creature, sinful creature. There is a cause of pain and so on. But clarifies my beliefs. As we've said, it can change the way I see God. But the way I believe, things happen in my life and why they happen. And the thing I want to make it clear today towards the end is that everything happens with a purpose. If you have this belief that everything happens with the purpose. As Paul puts it in Romans 8, everything will be crystal clear. Clarifies my priorities in life. And I don't have time to expand all this because I looked on the clock and I want to finish the sermon today. But, you know, when you suddenly go through pain, you know how to reorganize your priorities in life. And clarifies the values and motives of our lives. What we do. The last two points. Pain connects. It connects us with our own limitations. We've just seen at Paul. Connects with our own limitations. You suddenly realize, oh, I have many. It connects us with those who are feeling pain as well. This is called compassion. And some time ago, being through 1 Peter, we've learned about that, what compassion means. Look at this pandemic. It brought so much pain. It turned the world upside down. But I believe during this pandemic, the Christian church was connected more than ever. Choirs, singers, the blessing, that song. You know, we've been connected actually, even in isolation, more than we could have been maybe in person. Pain connects. When someone suffers and is in pain, you feel it. Look in your own body. When you have a pain, whatever it is, the whole body is in pain. It's connected. You sense it. And it connects us more with God, with Jesus. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More of you. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 this time, 17-18, that actually Christ himself, Jesus himself, was perfected through suffering. And when we are going through these sufferings, it connects us with him, the one who is the author and the finisher of our salvations. He has been perfected through suffering. And then, at last, pain completes something in us. One of the purposes of pain is to complete something in us. It came so many times in various pieces of scripture I read, including in the one that I started with, James chapter 1, that we go through what we go so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It completes maturity in us. We read in Hebrews 12, it completes righteousness in us, sanctification in us, and helps us to complete our mission. We've learned some time ago, looking at Abraham, that we all have a mission. The mission prospers and the mission flourishes when we have faith in what God called us and have faith in who called us. But when we abandon our mission, we fail in our faith as well. And for that reason, sometimes God allows pain to help us to complete the mission that God gave us. There is an amazing relationship between pain and purpose. And often someone said, your purpose is hidden in your pain. Until you see the purpose in your pain will remain painful. Did you ever stop to wonder why you experience pain? Have you ever assessed your pain to find out the purpose of it? If everything works for your good, as we learn in Romans, you must understand pain does that as well, as painful as that might be. We would all have to go through pain in life, but not all of us would discover the purpose in our pain, unfortunately. We can complain, We can take painkillers. And when I'm saying this, I also use it as a metaphoric way. Or you can do your best, come in prayer, align your prayer with God's purposes so you discover his purposes for you. Most people, unfortunately, miss out their purpose because they live their lives trying to avoid pain or look for something to protect them from it. Joyce Meyer, I'm not a great fan of her, but I know many listen to her. And this is, when I'm saying this, has nothing to do with her personality, but with her prosperity gospel. However, in one of her books, Life Beyond Abuse, chronicle how she was sexually abused emotionally, verbally, and physically, abused by her father until she left home at age 18. She goes into depth through all the pain that she experienced through that time and how that followed her for many years until she found purpose and she learned how to turn those pain points. She doesn't put it that way, but I'm twisting the words, into PowerPoints. That's why she's a powerful speaker. She speaks out of some experience. James Dobson, another great author that I personally met, and I spoke with him, and I've listened to him, and I've read his books. I remember even now coming in Romania and speaking to a large crowd of pastors, only men in that room, when he opened up his heart and in tear, he said that he was sexually abused by his father for many years in his childhood. And for how many years after he grew up and left, he couldn't speak a word to his father and hating him and carrying pain. Until one point when he chose to forgive him and go and share, you know, that he forgiven his father and shared the gospel with him. And his father cried and he asked for forgiveness and they restored their relationship. And then he became one of the greatest authors. And he has great books for young people, for family and so on. Mark Batterson captured it well when he said, it's not our experience that make us or break us. It is our interpretation of an experience that makes us or breaks us. The way we interpret that experience determines who we become. Your explanations are more important than our experiences. Does it make sense? I hope. So don't let the confusion of your pain cloud the clarity of the purpose it can serve in your life. God is capable of using every bad pain to produce a very good purpose in each one of us. To help you find purpose in your pain, ask yourself these questions. How could the story of my pain offer hope to someone else who needs to hear my story? How has my pain changed my attitude towards others who are suffering? What can I rate or produce that would be a source of hope for others? How is my pain prompting me to make changes in how I live my life? How is my pain prompting me to make my remaining days matter? What is God saying to me in my pain? Until you get the message in your pain would persist. Viktor Emil Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. After he experienced freedom, he is the founder. He founded a psychotherapeutic approach, a novel one, entitled logotherapy, based on the beliefs that lack of meaning is the paramount cause for continuous pain, stress, and physical sickness, and that the source of all human problems is the crisis of meaningless. He says in one of his books, when the Nazis brought all these Jewish people into Auschwitz and they locked them in the camp, at the entrance, they used to add one of these messages: abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Abandon all hope, ye to enter here. And those who did, they didn't survive. Those who still had hope and meaning and purpose for life, they make it. That's why, looking back, he developed this logotherapy approach. So to conclude, just a few sentences that I need to read them because it's a play of words in here. God, you often hear this, is able to take your lemons and make them lemonade. God is able to take your bad and make it better. God is able to take your mess and make it a miracle. God is able to turn your yesterday into a better tomorrow. It is one thing to have pain. It is a whole different ball game to have pain with a purpose. All of us at one time or another are hurting, financially, circumstantially, relationally, physically. It comes in all shapes and sizes, but when you can add purpose to pain, then you are not in pain for no reason at all. God is able to take your pain points and turn them into power points. You need to have a winning approach towards pain. A winning attitude converts a mess into a message, scars into stars, bitterness into betterness, frustration into fuel, misery into ministry, and adversity into advancement for God's glory. Amen.